Hi, I'm Eric Dalma, pastor at Gospel of Grace Fellowship, and I'm in studio along with Gospel of Grace's theologian and teacher, Bob DeWay. We both want to welcome you here to Critical Issues Commentary Radio, where we dig into the great doctrines of the faith revealed verse by verse through the Scriptures, and where we teach you how to contend for the faith once we're all handed down to the saints. Well, Bob, it's great to be with you here in studio. And we had left off last time talking about the Olivet Discourse and various issues of eschatology.
Right. We were in Matthew 24, and we just finished dealing with verse 9, and we went a lot of places dealing with issues that come up.
That's right.
Okay, so now we want to go to verse 10.
Yeah.
And we're still talking about things that happen within Daniel's 70th week.
Right, right.
And if you missed last week, you might want to go back and listen to it.
That's right.
To get up to speed. There's actually three that precede this one. This is number four.
That's right.
So Matthew 24:10 says, "At that time many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another." Verse 11, "Many false prophets will arise and mislead many."
Yeah.
So how exactly does that fit in to the rapture happened?
Yes.
Okay. We got a 7-year time period.
Yeah.
Okay. And we have the beginning of birth pangs.
That's right.
And the things that are going to happen during that time. How exactly will there be betrayal and false prophets, or how does that fit in?
Yeah, there's going to be a proliferation of false prophets in the last days. Excuse me, not the last days, but in the 70th week that we've never seen. And one of the indications of that is the Antichrist kingdom comes out of 10 toes. That reaches all the way back to Daniel chapter 2. So when the Antichrist, the false prophet par excellence, comes on the scene, there are other false prophets and false Christs that are vying for power. He's just the one that ends up succeeding. Also, during that time period, we see, for example, that Babylon itself will be built. And when we read the description of Babylon in Revelation 18, it is the headquarters of sorcery and everything that opposes salvation by relying upon God's word alone. So you're going to have false prophecy actually have a headquarters in a place known as Babylon, really along the Euphrates. I believe it'll be literal. And you're going to have the beast, the false prophet. And by the way, he has a false prophet with him. So you're going to have a proliferation of false prophets, like a school, think of it that way, that will be coming out of Babylon. In fact, in Revelation 17, one of the ironies is that there is this fighting amongst the Antichrist and these 10 other toes, these 10 other kings. Well, they all end up finally acquiescing to the Antichrist and giving their allegiance to him. In fact, God says in his word, I believe it's Revelation 17:14, right in there, or verse through verse 17, that this was for his own purposes. So here's the point. The Antichrist comes on the scene, but there are many other false prophets that are vying for control. Amongst them, the false prophet that works hand in hand with the Antichrist. So if we think there's a lot of false prophets now, my goodness, what will it be like in Daniel's 70th week, where there's actually a headquarters for false prophecy known as Babylon along the Euphrates? Unbelievable.
Now, I heard you teach about this in Sunday school.
Yeah.
And I need to ask this. A lot of people over a long time have identified Babylon as being Rome.
Yes.
I remember you commented on having looked at all of this.
Yeah.
And decided the best idea biblically was this was the literal Babylon.
Yeah. And you know, the best evidence when we look at it is the reference to the Euphrates. My question to interpreters, if we're going to take this literally, in John, as he writes Revelation, what's very interesting is when he uses symbols, he just tells us what the symbols mean.
Yes.
So, for example, if he talks about a lampstand, he'll say, well, these are the reference to the seven churches. When he talks about the dragon, he'll just say, well, this is Satan. He just tells you exactly what it is. If there is a symbol that John doesn't specifically tell you what it means, we know it from what the Old Testament refers it to. So the Old Testament will tell us what it means. But saying that, everything should be taken literally. So, for example, this Babylon, we know is going to be along the Euphrates. Well, what I told people in Sunday school is notice the Euphrates is different than the Tibris. The Tibris River and those around Rome are not mentioned, but the Euphrates is. So that's how we know that this Babylon is going to be literally rebuilt. And by the way, in history, Alexander the Great himself made a great port out of Babylon, which is shocking, certainly with modern day abilities of machinery to do excavation. It won't be much for Babylon to be rebuilt, and I think even have a harbor once again.
Okay, I wanted to bring that up because I found it interesting. I hadn't thought of it that way until I heard you teach it.
And the one other fact is that when the enemies that stem from Babylon, when they come against Israel, it mentions also in Revelation that they cross the Euphrates, again indicating that it will literally be rebuilt.
Very interesting. Now, the betrayal and hatred of one another,
yes, is
going to be a very dangerous time.
Yeah, that's right. You know, one of the indications of that is, again, going back to the fourth seal, where you see a fourth of the earth is lost due to sword, famine, pestilence, and wild beasts. The reason those four are so significant is sword means warfare. It's just shorthand for that. But the reason why wild beast is at the end of that judgment is because what's being depicted is the social order of nations are so reduced that humans are going to be dragged along by a wild beast. They're going to be killed. Normally today, we would say, boy, it would be unheard of to see a bear just walking down the street with a 7-year-old in its mouth.
It's pretty rare, but something like that happens now and again.
It does, exactly. But this is going to be commonplace because the social order will be so destroyed. Well, in that kind of condition, mankind turns against one another simply for survival.
It makes sense as well, because we know that lawlessness,
yes,
is going to be descriptive.
That's right.
It's interesting, as I'm now at this time, my second book on emergence being republished.
Right.
And I talk about how there's this romantic ideal that everything's going to evolve into heaven on earth.
Right.
And paradise. And it's all the things that you might see in, like, isn't it Isaiah talks about the lion lying down?
Yes, yes. Isaiah,
they think
too.
That's all going to happen now.
Right.
And they romantically think this is the way it is.
Right.
Some of them, by the way, have been killed by beasts.
Yes.
Because they don't want to, even in their paganism, think that there's a difference between a beast and a human being.
Right.
Because they believe in biological evolution, social evolution,
yeah,
spiritual evolution.
Right.
Everything's getting better.
Right.
What a crazy idea. But when this happens, all of that stuff's going to be out the window so fast.
That's right. That's right. And, you know,
but right now they mock it.
They do. And what's interesting is during this time period, we know that Antichrist is going to have a grip on the economic system. And so unless you have the mark of the beast, you won't be able to trade. Well, think about the way it was in the Soviet Union. They had a special secret police that they would incentivize people turning in their neighbor. If you turn in your neighbor who's anti-communist, well, you get extra bread at the bread line. And so this is going to be on steroids.
Yeah, and they used to have an abundance, and then after their ideal, their Marxist ideal,
exactly,
came into being,
that's right,
they were starving.
Exactly.
Millions.
That's right.
They couldn't even grow enough to live on.
Exactly. And this famine that we know is going to murder or kill, I should say, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people.
I would just say to our listeners, don't believe people who are saying progressive.
Right.
Because that is an allusion to German idealism.
That's right.
And Hegel and Marx,
yep,
and other versions of it. This is everything's evolving into something better, and that the civil governments with boundaries are an evil thing.
Right, exactly.
Last time when we were doing a broadcast, we said the civil government with boundaries, all of them,
that's
are
right,
how God is restraining evil.
Right, right.
And Eric's preached on that a lot lately.
Yeah, that's right.
And so we got people that want to get rid of that. They are thinking basically like the man of lawlessness is not on the scene of history.
Amen. Amen.
That's just the way they're thinking.
You're right. You know, I was thinking about the Communist Manifesto, the last lines in it, is where Karl Marx asks all the workers of the world, unite. He literally, I believe, calls them the proletariat, if I remember. And the point of that is Marx hated national boundaries because when people identify according to nationality, they're far less likely to see themselves identified as the have-nots or the proletariat. So what happens is when people have strong national identities, it destroys Marxism. So anytime you see Marxism on the march, the goal is to really get rid of national boundaries that God ordained to restrain evil.
Okay. So when this has been tried,
yeah,
in any huge, powerful way, like in the Soviet Union,
yeah,
or, well, look what happened in Southeast Asia and all the millions that died.
Cambodia, right.
Well, somebody is still managing all of the goods and services and whatever still exists.
Exactly.
And it ends up being the elite handlers, the government, or somebody.
Yep.
It's way worse than ordinary human commerce.
Right, right.
Because there's restraints.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whereas once the government owns everything, there's no restraint.
Right,
but
right.
See, they're always frustrated now.
Yeah.
Because it just can't happen.
That's right.
And we believe it's because God is administrating history differently now.
Right.
Using civil governments, multiple ones.
Exactly.
So when we get into this time where it says they'll betray one another, false prophets, verse 12, lawlessness is increased, they're going to willingly sign up to be abused.
That's right. They're going to sign up for it. Yeah, isn't that sad?
And what are they going to get out of it?
Yeah.
Well, they can shake their fist at God and say, there.
Right.
We're
in
done
fact,
with
they
you.
Do. Yeah.
Yeah, we're done with you.
Right. Yeah. They still don't repent. That's what's so shocking. They don't repent of
and
their
they
immoralities.
They did not repent.
That's right. How shocking.
And they did not repent. That's an amazing irony.
I think about, too, the irony of Jesus' words where he says, you don't receive me, but you will receive one who comes in my name. Jesus said that to the Jews, but by extension, it extends to all people that, yes, the Antichrist is so much more appealing to the unregenerate world than the true Christ. And they're going to get what comes from him and his imperfect rule.
It's interesting to me. Today, before I got here, I was reading on this book that somebody gave me. It's not yet published, so I'll wait till it's out there, then I'll recommend it.
Yeah.
But it's talking about Hegel, German idealism, Romanticism, the Second Reich, Kaiser Wilhelm.
Sure.
Third Reich.
Wow.
Hitler,
yeah.
But it was explaining why it's always the Jews that they hate.
Yeah.
And the reason the Jews were always hated was because they wouldn't give up their distinctiveness as a people.
Wow.
Who had a transcendent God who gave moral law.
Wow.
Like the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
Notice now they want to tear the Ten Commandments down every time they can.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't want that idea.
Right.
Because there's really not a transcendent philosophy or process of evolution or anything like that, but an actual creator who created the world out of nothing.
Right.
Okay. Who has spoken. Hebrews says many places, many ways in these last days has spoken to us in his Son.
Right.
Who is heir to all things. And that this transcendent lawgiver is ultimately the judge.
Right.
And history is not heading towards paradise, it's heading toward judgment.
Right.
That's what they're angry about.
Yeah.
And the Jews won't give up their distinctiveness.
Right.
As a people.
Yeah.
And their idea that there's a transcendent God, even though many are in unbelief.
Right. Well said.
But the German idealist philosophers always wanted to attack the Jews.
Yes.
Then Hitler decided to really go through on it and kill them.
Right. You know, Bob, one of my favorite phrases regarding God in the Old Testament is when he's referred to in Isaiah as the Holy One of Israel. And the reason I love that phrase is because Holy One denotes his transcendence, but the fact that he's of Israel denotes that he's imminent.
He comes and speaks on the scene of history.
Exactly.
But see, the pagan world wants to say all paths lead to God.
Exactly. They only want immanence. They don't want his transcendence.
Yeah. And so
the very existence of Israel.
The pogroms against the Jews, when I look at it, if you look at it just in a human sense, it's absurd.
That's right.
because they've always been good citizens.
Exactly. And their very existence is a reminder to the world that this Holy One exists.
Yeah, so they want to be rid of the Jews.
Exactly. Then they get rid of God.
But they're hardened.
Yes.
There's this until.
Yep.
This temporary hardening.
Right.
Okay, this going on. And ironically and sadly and tragically, after the rapture, during Daniel's 70th week, they're still going to be deceived.
Right, right.
Other than a remnant.
Yep.
Okay. And why would they, after all this, still be willing to turn things over to the Antichrist or the false prophet?
That's right. Yeah, it's shocking. And that what happens, it's interesting, it seems to reverse in the last 3.5 years. That's where they finally are spiritually revived. And the evidence of that, again, is in Revelation 11. They give glory to God. Revelation 12, they're brought out into the wilderness and nourished for 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years. So what God is doing is
They realize
exactly
this guy wants to be the object of worship.
That's right. And that's exactly what Daniel said in Daniel 7. He wears down the saints, Daniel 7:25, this Antichrist. Again, in Daniel chapter 9, the last 3.5 years, the Antichrist is going to go after Israel like no one's ever gone after Israel. And so interestingly enough, it's the last Exodus. There's an Exodus where the Israelites are brought into the wilderness again, but they're going to be preserved by Yahweh as a faithful remnant that end up believing. And this is the fulfillment that was promised in Zechariah 12:10. You mentioned this last week when we were talking about this topic, when it says that they will look upon the one whom they pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child. They will come to saving faith.
So ironically, Antichrist gets so bad finally.
Yeah.
The Jews see... No, this is deception.
Exactly. That's right. Amen.
But in the meantime, people will betray one another.
That's right. It'll be commonplace.
False prophets arise.
Yes.
You know, one of the things that happens, I believe, and we've talked about this a lot, there's going to be release of spiritual beings, demons.
Yes, yes.
The habitation of demons.
That's right.
And there'll be a more tangible interaction.
Yes.
With the world of the spirits.
Right, the demons come out, are allowed out of the abyss.
That's how I read
Revelation
it.
Revelation 9, correct. Yes, amen.
More literal than we can imagine.
Absolutely.
And so now people have to go to really great length to try to contact the spirits.
Yeah.
Because they think they're good and positive.
Right.
That's one of the things that shocked me when I was reading Revelation. I taught through it decades ago, and I just certainly never understood it as well as you do. But interestingly, after being bitten by these locusts and stuff,
yeah,
and it says, and they did not repent.
Right. Isn't that shocking?
People want, and that's in a smaller way happens now.
Yeah.
They so want contact with the spirits.
Tangibility, yes.
Yeah, they'll go to great lengths to shamans and witch doctors and whoever, conjurers and curse makers and curse breakers.
Right.
To get this going.
Yeah.
But it usually bites them.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's right.
I know a few people over my Christian life who were in the occult.
Yeah.
And actually got saved when the very spirits they were trying to contact turned on them.
Wow.
They can't help themselves because they hate humans. We're created in God's image.
Right.
It actually came to Christ.
Wow.
Because the spirits that they worked so hard to contact attacked them.
Right, right. They know that now they need protection.
I still
from
get
those.
Emails from people that that's happening too, and I always preach at the gospel. You got It's not good enough to deal with this spirit and that spirit. You've got to get removed from their domain.
Exactly. It's a domain issue.
You've got to get out of the entire domain of darkness so that you're under the administration of God through his word in the church.
Right. And Bob, you know, with these demonic hordes that we see, for example, those that come out of the abyss at the fifth trumpet, or in Revelation 16, you have this a million man army that people thought was a man army, but it's actually a demonic army that's brought to the Euphrates. The question is this: when has in church history anyone seen these demonic hordes? Well, that's never happened in church history. This awaits the 70th week of Daniel. And so when Jesus in Matthew 24, 21 through 22 says, this is the worst time period ever. In fact, if those days not be cut short, no flesh would survive. Mm-hmm. I tell people all the time, you can only have one worst time period ever. Well, if the worst time period being described in the book of Revelation is the period that Jesus is referring to, well, then Jesus is referring to the same things that you're reading about in the book of Revelation. We can be confident of that. So I tell people, you can't have the worstest. You can't have one worst time period and then another. Right.
It's only a unique event.
Exactly.
In the future.
That's right.
Okay, so false prophets, we explained that.
Yeah.
Verse 12, because lawlessness is increased.
Right.
Most people's love will grow cold. Now, we've already mentioned, if you read 1 John, the lawlessness is already
at work.
At work.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
And there are antichrists, plural.
Yeah, amen.
But the lawless one is yet to be revealed.
That's right. And it's interesting that play on lawlessness, as you and I were mentioning about the restrainer, the great apostasy is not just a rebellion against religion per se, but it's also the way in which God rules his universe, that he ordains law and order through multiple governments, multiple boundaries. That lawlessness is going to take place in a system in which there's one ruler who has absolute control, namely the Antichrist, and he is known as the lawless one. In fact, Paul refers to him as the man of lawlessness. So if the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, is ruling the world, you can imagine how lawlessness is going to pervade all of those under his rule.
It would be horrible.
Yeah.
I had a kind of a slight experience of that, but it lasted a long time, 25 years. I was a pastor or minister for 25 years.
Yeah.
In a church, basically in the inner city.
Yeah.
Okay. And we just experienced lawlessness for 25 years.
Wow.
And I was glad, I'm glad I was young then. It was an endless battle.
Wow.
Everything you could think of that you wouldn't want done, people were doing.
Isn't that something?
And they had no fear of authority.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, you saw that firsthand. I remember
it happened
stories.
Over and over. I had my life threatened. I don't know how many times.
Wow.
They'd wreck our property, vandalism, stuff sprayed. We had limestone that you couldn't get the paint out of. We didn't have enough money to deal with some of these things.
Right.
People, now they're talking about sexual harassment, which is so horrible.
Yeah.
Whatever happens in a workplace,
yeah,
which now there's lawsuits and they're getting on top of it,
right,
to stop the lawlessness, in the alley behind a church, it happened.
Right.
We had people setting up cardboard shanties on our front steps, and I had to get there at 5 in the morning to start to clean up so we could have church.
Wow.
It was so bad. Now, here, I finally was thinking about this the other day in regard to lawlessness.
Yeah.
You know why it was so bad? The people that were doing these things,
yeah,
had absolutely zero fear of any authority.
Right.
All I was a preacher.
Sure.
And the cons. I had every kind of con, scam, people trying to run scams on me.
Right. It was constant.
Endlessly.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty skeptical. A couple of them still got by with it.
Sure, sure.
Lying, scamming, conning, robbing, abusing, vulgar,
wow,
every kind of thing, just because we're down there in that part of town,
yeah,
and we're trying to take care of a big building that we couldn't really afford.
Right, right.
So I had 25 years' taste of lawlessness.
Wow.
And it just was wearing. I was 29 years old when it all started, but it was so hard to just deal with it.
Bob, that is an amazing way of illustrating it. Can you imagine the whole world like that, where there's no way? Because you left in what year? It was about 2006, 2007.
Yeah,
you moved
2006
the building.
We got out.
Right. But can you imagine not being able to, quote-unquote, get out, where it's that
well,
way?
See,
ever? It's amazing.
The thing that was, interestingly,
yeah,
you can see why this whole Marxist Hegelian thing is in play.
Yeah.
The civil authorities seem to think that we were the evil ones.
Oh, right.
Let me tell a story about this. I don't mind doing that here because we're talking about lawlessness.
Yeah.
I thought they wanted to deal with graffiti. So we got letters from the city. We can't have graffiti because then it makes it look like we're a bad neighborhood.
Yeah.
And so, and literally, I mean, we had such a hard time trying to clean it up because of the limestone.
Right.
And work. Well, then as technology developed, I had the ability to take a color picture, scan it, and print it or whatever, and send it to the city.
Yeah.
So I thought they would be wanting to look for evidence to find out who's doing it.
Right.
So I took a picture of a new one that showed up, sent it to the city, and I got a nasty letter from the city saying, if you don't have this removed by such and so, we're going to come and send somebody to do it and fine you.
Oh, my goodness. It's your fault. You're being victimized.
I'm the evil person, the little pastor.
Right.
Because somebody vandalized our property.
Unbelievable.
Of a nonprofit.
Yeah.
We had people, one person's car was stolen while he was trying to take his children to school, Sunday school.
Unbelievable.
And
it's unbelievable.
I finally was analyzing this the other day, and here's what I decided. This is based on this big lying philosophy.
Yeah.
That everything's evolving to something better.
Right.
That man is basically good.
Right.
Okay. And that anybody who believes in absolute laws, like the Jews,
has to be done away.
They're the evil ones.
Right, right.
And so why were they treating me like I was evil?
Right, because you believe in absolute.
I believe in law. I wouldn't do what was done almost every day to us.
Right.
And if I did that out somewhere else in the city,
yeah,
I'd be thrown in jail.
Right, exactly. That's right.
But the people doing it, according to the city, are the victims, and I'm the evil victimizer.
Right.
Because I'm the pastor of the church.
Right. Amen. Yeah, it's so sick, isn't it?
But that was a little taste of what lawlessness looks like. And now we have the same thing multiplying. When I see some of the stuff on TV about what's going on in parts of California.
That's right.
Brings back a lot of interesting memories, but not good ones.
Right. You know, you think about that, Bob. Sanctuary cities, the left is big on that, where they won't abide by federal law.
Well, they want lawlessness.
That's lawlessness.
But see,
exactly.
The lawlessness was for everybody attacking pastor.
That's right.
And the church and its property.
Right.
But the law was applied to me, and I wasn't saying I did everything they said.
Yeah, oh, exactly.
They said your limbs of your trees are within 7 feet of sidewalk. I get a nasty litter. You got to fix it or you're in noncompliance or we're going to fine you.
Sure.
So I'd be out trimming the trees.
Right.
Which I had planted because the city wanted us to after the Dutch elm disease in the 70s.
Sure, sure.
Okay, so I plant them, I trim them. You got to clean it up, so I clean it up. You've got to do this, so I did that. You've got to be inspected, so I was inspected. And I literally did everything they asked me to do.
Yes.
And I still get nasty letters from the city threatening me.
Right.
If something else wasn't right.
Right, the one who abides by the law.
The ones that were doing evil continue to do it. Different people, whole generations came and went in 25 years.
Right, and they're sheltered.
They're never held in account. The police won't even come and check.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're the victims.
Yes.
The people that vandalize. I walk down, talk to the police, they just, their eyes glaze over.
Yeah.
They don't want to deal with that.
Right, right.
But if you parked in the wrong place, they'd be right there to give you a ticket.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is okay. I'm not saying I want lawlessness.
I know what you're saying.
Exactly. I don't want it.
Yeah, but that's the bureaucratic state.
But how
state.
Can you create a state where law applies to some people
and not others?
And everybody else can do whatever they want. And if you don't like it, then you're not very loving or compassionate or...
That's right.
There's something wrong with us. Now, imagine, I say all of that.
Yep.
I'm not complaining because God still used that time to prepare me to be
Amen.
Able to do
right.
What
and
I'm
I know
doing.
That you haven't completely. Right, exactly.
I just kept preaching the gospel.
Yep. That's right. You're faithful.
Well, the whole time, I don't know how faithful I was. Sometimes I didn't even know what to do, but I did preach the gospel.
Yeah, amen.
I was faithful to teach the word of God because I knew that was my marching orders.
That's right.
Teach the word of God. And anybody could come to Christ who would believe the gospel. Anybody could come to a Bible study and so on. And we even have put on things out there for the neighborhood.
Yeah.
But you don't want lawlessness.
No.
Okay?
No.
Now, imagine what will happen. I believe that Jesus is God who cannot lie, obviously.
That's right.
There will be a rapture.
Yeah.
And now all you have left is lawlessness.
Oh.
There's not even a police department to call.
Right.
I complain when I call and they don't want to come because they know the problem was called by somebody they don't want to arrest.
Right.
Because if they arrest them, they have to put them in jail. And then they'd rather leave them homeless or whatever
exactly.
their status was.
That's right.
Point is, at least I could try.
Yeah.
I could call.
Yep.
Okay. And if there was a, there were, by the way, people murdered.
Yeah.
Right within hundreds of yards across the alley. One time during an overnight, a guy was murdered right across the street.
Unbelievable.
The time they came was when it was to bring the bodies out.
Oh, my goodness.
If you called 911, they'd come if there was somebody shot.
Oh, well, that's what would actually bring them then. Okay.
Yeah. But if somebody's selling drugs to kids.
That's all right. They just let that go.
They don't come. All right. So.
Unbelievable.
So literally, it was an amazing thing to go through. But think about. I'm a Christian pastor at that time,
yeah.
gospel preacher, trying to bring people the only thing that really helped, which is forgiveness of sins,
yeah.
eternal life, the hope of the gospel, heaven, all these things. We did the marriages and the funerals and everything that you do.
Yeah.
Okay. Imagine there's a rapture and everybody's gone who even wants civil law to restrain evil.
Right.
And the Marxists.
Yeah.
That are demanding more lawlessness all the time.
Yeah, they get their way.
There's no restraint.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's easy for me to see how they give their power to the beast.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's what they want.
That's what they want.
More and more and more lawlessness. We can't get enough of it.
Right, right. Wow, that's frightening. It's a frightening picture.
Yeah, I'm somebody who lived through it.
Yeah, that's really powerful.
For 25 years.
Yeah.
And I would just say this. When you read the newspaper about what is or isn't, what actually happens on the street level by the people who are in the situations of lawlessness,
yeah.
Listeners, wherever you may be, you don't want that.
Yeah, amen.
You don't want it.
Right.
And you don't want to live that way. And you don't want to live in a world that believes it's good for it to be that way.
Right.
Although we're stuck in it.
Yeah.
Let's believe the truth and be thankful that God gave civil law, moral law, and he restrains evil.
Amen. Wow, what a fitting way to end. Well, I know we're out of time for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary, but we both want to remind all of you out there that you can access this program at our website at cicministry.org. Well, Bob, it's a real pleasure talking about these things, and I really appreciate your illustration there at the end. Very powerful.
Well, I've never really talked about it before, so this is I just decided now to do it because it's
very
talking
good.
About lawlessness.
Yeah, we don't want lawlessness. Well, we both want to remind all of you there, as it says in Philippians 1:27, stand firm in one spirit with one mind and strive together for the faith of the gospel.